right, Life Point Church, how are we doing today? All right, I'll take that. That's okay. Happy Mother's Day. Where's all my mothers at? Awesome. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you all for what you do, for what you've done, what you will continue to do. The job is never done. And we appreciate you. Without you and all the women in our church and in our world, we would be so lost. So thank you for being the incredible, strong, beautiful people that you are. So thank you. What I'll say is, moms, you're the bomb. And I'm not just like going back to early 2000s and being lame on that. For each person here, woman, on your way out the door, we have a little gift for you just to say thank you for being awesome. So it is a bath bomb, and it says, Mom, you're the bomb. So take one of those on your way out the door, enjoy it, relax. And again, whether you're technically a mom or not, if you are a woman and you're here, no matter your age, take one on the way out the door. We love you, and we're so thankful that you're here. So today, we're going to be wrapping up our message series that we're in currently called The Following Days. And this is week three. And so far in this series, what we've been doing is we've been looking at a few different interactions that Jesus had with his disciples post-resurrection. Right, in the following days after the resurrection. And in the first 2 weeks of this series, we really focused in on Peter, right? And we saw that Jesus had this incredible interaction with Jesus on a beach after he rose from the grave. And if you remember back in Luke 22, before Jesus was arrested, he told Peter, I mean, he went ahead and told him, like, hey, you're going to struggle with your faith, but don't worry, it's not going to completely fail, but you're going to struggle. And of course, Peter's like, no, never, I got you, I'm with you, Jesus, ride or die, right? I'm always by your side. And Jesus was like, no, Peter, you're going to deny me when the rooster crows. Just trust me, it's going to happen. And sure enough, after Jesus was arrested, Peter denied Jesus three separate times. Three times. This is Peter. He's supposed to be Jesus' right-hand man. And he denies Jesus three times. And then after his resurrection and on that beach, he served him breakfast. And then after breakfast, we see this beautiful encounter where Jesus fully restores Peter. Three times Peter denied Jesus. And then Jesus three times asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Fully restoring Peter. And not only in that did we see that Jesus restores Peter's hope through the resurrection, as he does all of our hope, he restores him fully from his failures, from that guilt, from that shame, of that denial. But then also in that same passage, he tells him, well, if you love me, then feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Right? So we talked about last week. He not only redeems us, but he redeems us to unleash us. To unleash us to our purpose. Our full potential, right? What he created us to do. And so today, as we wrap up this series, we're going to look at Jesus' very last interaction that he had with his disciples. The last interaction after he rose from the grave and then before he ascended into heaven, he really gives the disciples their purpose. And not only to the disciples, but it rings true for every single one of us today. It's this mission that we all share as followers of Jesus. And so let's go ahead and just jump right in to our passage of scripture today. And I know in public speaking, you're not supposed to really apologize or lay anything out there, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, I had a mouth surgery this week, I have like 15 stitches in my mouth right now and a weird like splint. So if I sound funny, I feel like I'm not talking right. So just bear with me. And if you can't understand me, it's okay. The Holy Spirit will do his work. Not stressing that. So let's go ahead and jump in. Today we're going to look at the final five verses in the book of Matthew. Again, these are some of Jesus' final words to disciples. And he says this, Matthew 28, starting in verse 16, we're going to go through 20. And it says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. We'll get to that on another day, because that's an incredible phrase right there, but some of them doubted. Anyways, then it goes on. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These are the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. So knowing that, we can assume that these are incredibly, incredibly powerful and important words. I mean, think about it. If you knew you were in your final hours and you were with your friends and your family and you only had a few more words to be able to share with them, don't you think you'd really think through what you wanted to say? You would use those words in that time wisely. So Jesus, knowing that these were his final words, we know that they're incredibly important. In his final words to the disciples, after redeeming them, after restoring them, right? After he unleashes them for their purpose, he then lays out their mission. He tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, to teach them everything that Jesus had commanded. He gave them that responsibility and that mission. And if you've been in the church for any length of time, you know that. You know, we call it the Great Commission. It's really what we're all about. But if you really think about it, like keeping it real, that is a huge task. That is a huge responsibility that Jesus has laid out for us to make disciples of all nations, to teach them everything that Jesus commanded them. That's a lot. Like, Jesus, you know you're talking to humans, right? Like, we're kind of messed up. We're kind of flawed here. I mean, Jesus' right-hand man, Peter, straight up denied him. And yet he's saying, I choose you to go. Thomas, another one of the disciples, he doubted and said, I'm not going to believe it until I actually touch the wounds. And Jesus said, I'm choosing you, go. Even in the passage right before he lays out that Great Commission, it said some were worshiping him, but some doubted. Yet he says, go, I choose you. You are my vessels. You are my instruments to going and taking this truth to the ends of the earth. To be my disciples, to bring up new disciples. And to teach them, to baptize them. I choose you. And it's humbling, terrifying, and overwhelming, and incredible, all at the same time, like all wrapped into one, that this is our responsibility, that we are responsible for carrying his truth, for carrying this incredible news of his death, burial, and resurrection, to present the truth to people that we can be restored, that no matter how far you've gone, no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven, and you can be made whole and made right before the Father because of what Jesus did. It's our responsibility to take that to the ends of the earth. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you claim to be a Christ follower, a Christian, a true Christian, this isn't optional. Like, hear me clearly, this is not optional. You can't say, well, I'm called to do this. I'm not called to do that. Now, you may, career-wise, God may have placed something within you to do something that's outside of the realm of what we in America would say full-time ministry. But the Great Commission should be a part of everything that we do. Every environment we go in, everything that we do, we are called. It is not an option. And again, it's a huge responsibility. As someone with a degree in biblical studies who's been in ministry for many, many, many years and is now a lead pastor, to be honest, when I think about it, in my own efforts, in my own ability, I feel completely inadequate and unqualified to carry that mission, to really carry that and live that out. Because I know me, and I know I'm flawed, and I know I have failures, and I know that I'm not perfect. But see, but that's the beautiful thing, is that Jesus takes us where we are and restores us and redeems us to unleash us. He said, yeah, I know you have all these issues, but I choose you. And that should get us pumped, right? That should get us ready to go. But again, reality is, it's overwhelming. Many times, I've talked to so many people that they say, you know, I believe and I'm a Christ follower, but I just don't know enough to lead a Bible study, or I don't know enough to talk to this person about Jesus, or to go to work and, you know, someone was asking me questions, but I just don't know enough. We get overwhelmed with it, and so we just freeze and we don't do anything. Yet as followers of Christ, this is what we're called to do. So for the rest of our time this morning and our discussion as we wrap up this series, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how not only does Jesus lay out this great commission in this passage, but like he always tends to do, within the same commission, he tells us exactly how to do it. He alleviates that stress, that fear, that responsibility, and places it back on himself. And simply tells us to go. So how do we fulfill the Great Commission? How do we actually live this out? Well, the first thing that I want you to see from this passage of Scripture is that we can accomplish the Great Commission through the authority of Jesus. Through the authority of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 18. We see that before Jesus even gives the mission to his disciples, before he tells them to go, he lets them know whose authority they're going to be operating in, right? It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So he says, I have all the authority. And then he sends them. So then go. Go with my authority, not your own. Go with my authority. I don't know if you all had this experience when you were kids growing up, but I know when I was in school, if the teacher had to go to the restroom or just wanted to get out of the classroom and say they were going to make copies or whatever, they would leave and they would pick one person, one student, to be responsible for the class, right? I'm putting Sally in charge, and she's going to write down names, and she's going to do this and this and this. So you best behave. And the teacher would leave. Yeah, they never put me in charge. I don't know why. They're probably smart. But this kid has the authority of the teacher. And I don't know if you all had the same experience, but that kid always abused it. They walk up front of the class, all shoulders back, just confident, arrogant as all get out, just ready to write a name down, just wanting. I dare you, because I'm going to write your name down and give it to the teacher. You know what's going to happen. They had confidence. Boldness, not because of who they were, but because of the authority that was passed on to them. I think at the same time, same way, I've had some opportunities where I've been able to kind of go behind the scenes on something, whether it be, you know, go backstage at a concert or something like that, you know, to where before, you know, if I didn't have that authority, I'd be worried I'd be getting kicked out. But if I had that backstage pass, shoot. I'd be walking around like I was something special. Not because I was special, but because I'd been given authority. Someone else's authority was placed upon me, was given to me. Therefore, I had confidence. I had boldness because of that fact. And this is exactly what Jesus does. He says, I've been given all authority, and therefore I'm giving it to you to go. Be confident, be bold, share the truth, live it out, because I've given you that authority to do so. And I have all authority in all of heaven and all of earth. So we know that we can carry the Great Commission, and we can be confident in the fact that we can do it through the authority of Jesus that's been granted and shared with us. So we can do that. And that should relieve some of that fear and stress. We should be a little bold, right? A little confident, because the greatest teacher, the creator, gave us authority. The second thing that we see in this passage of scripture is that we can accomplish the Great Commission through the commands of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 19 and a little bit of 20. It says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then it says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. So yes, we're to make disciples. We're to baptize them. And then it says that we're to teach them everything that Jesus had given, everything that Jesus told them. Now again, when I read that or when I hear that, I get super overwhelmed, because being someone that is a perfectionist, that is OCD, that wants to get everything right to the T, when I see that word all, my brain starts to swirl. I get overwhelmed and my stress level starts to jump through the roof, because I'm thinking, what if I miss one of the commands? What if I didn't pick up on this one? What if I miss this? What if I miss that? And then I start to doubt, and then I start freaking out because of the word all. Because I want to do it right. Because I want to be perfect at it, right? And I know some of you are like me in that. Not all of you, but some of you are. But if you find yourself a little overwhelmed by that word, all the commands that Jesus has given, I want to remind you of just a few chapters before this in Matthew 22. When Jesus was being confronted by one of the Pharisees, this religious leader, and he was trying to trick Jesus up, right? He was trying to back him into a corner, get him to say something wrong. And so he said, hey, teacher, which command of Moses is the greatest, the most important of all the laws of Moses? Which one is it? He's trying to trick Jesus up. And then in verse 37, it says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you've been coming to LifePoint for any length of time, you've heard me preach this passage or refer to this passage, because I absolutely love it. Because it is so powerful and there's so much beauty in it. Not only does he say that we're to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, he then goes on to say that the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So yes, we need to study scripture. We need to look at and see what all Jesus taught us. And we need to do our very, very best to follow those things and live those things out, to live like Jesus. But when you find yourself getting overwhelmed by that, or if that's going to sideline you and keep you from living out the Great Commission because you're afraid of the word all, remember that all the demands of the prophets and the laws hinge on these two commands: to love God and love people. So when you're overwhelmed, we know that we can fulfill the Great Commission by loving God and loving people. If we can start from there, we're going to be okay. If we can laser in our focus on that, not only would LifePoint Church be a different place, but our community would be different. Our city, our state, our world would become different if we as followers of Jesus would begin to truly love God and love people and make disciples. It's not that complicated. We just have to commit to doing it. We have to be focused. We have to be on mission. We can carry out the Great Commission. We can live it out through the authority of Jesus and through the commands of Jesus, through teaching people to love God, love people, and to make disciples. And then the final thing, and maybe the most important of all, is that we can accomplish the Great Commission through the presence of Jesus. Through his presence. And verse 20 wraps everything up and says, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you. The one who is sending you, who is commissioning you, said, don't worry. You can do all this because I'm with you. You're not alone. I'm not sending you out by yourself. Yes, I've assigned you a huge task and a huge responsibility. I'm giving you authority. I'm showing you how to love, what to do and how to do it. And then I'm with you. So you don't have to stress. I'm with you. He's got your back. You just need to take a step of faith. Be willing to risk whatever it is that you're fearful of. Whether it's being teased or pushed aside or being known as the Christian or whatever it might be. Whatever it is that's holding you back. You got to be willing to step over that and know that he's got you and that he's with you and that it's going to be all right. It's going to be more than all right because you'll actually be walking in stride with how Jesus created you, living out his purpose for your life and fulfilling that Great Commission. And you can do that, but you have to step out. He's with you. He's going to lead you through that. He's going to give you those opportunities. He'll give you the words to say and tell you what to do and how to do it. He will guide you because he's with you. And you can have confidence in that. You're forever in his presence. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you did last night. Doesn't matter even maybe what you did this morning. He is with you. If you have called on his name and received him as your Savior, he's with you. And that should give you the ultimate confidence. Again, very similar to the authority piece. I don't know how many times in my life I've tried to fix something at my house, stressed out about it, jacked it up a little bit, taking me 15 hours to do something simple because I don't know what I'm doing and I'm fearful and I'm just kind of hesitant in going into it. And I'm worried, stressed out. But then when someone comes over that knows exactly what they're doing, doesn't even do anything, just stands there, I'm like, Mr. Fix-It. No stress, I got this. They're like, hey, do that. Are you sure? Yeah, okay, cool. Take care of it. Because of their presence. The presence of the one that knows what they're doing. And that's exactly what we have all day, every day. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says it like this. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Because of the presence of Jesus, you will receive power. Power to do whatever it is that he's calling you to do. Not your power, but his power, his presence, his authority, his commands, modeling his life. Honestly, what more could you ever ask for, want, or need in filling out the Great Commission and fulfilling it than to have the presence of the one who's sending you? The one who's giving you the command to go. I want you to go and do this thing, and guess what? I'm going to go with you. And you go in my authority. I mean, we should be bold. We should have confidence. We should be out there living this every second of every day to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them all that Jesus talked about, all that he commanded us, and knowing that we can do it because he's with us. So my question for you this morning is, how are you living this out? How are you living out the Great Commission? Or are you not? What will you do with this? For the past 3 weeks, we've kind of laid out this path that we see after in the following days. We see that through the Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he's given us a gift of restoration if we'll receive it. So maybe for you, that's what you need to do with it today. You need to receive that and be restored and redeemed. Confessing and believing, stepping over that line of faith and receiving him as your Lord and Savior, letting him radically change everything. Or maybe you've given your life to Christ. You've experienced that. You've been restored, but he's unleashed you, but you're not going. You're still trying to do what you want to do. You're not living out the purpose. Maybe you're not living out this ultimate mission of the Great Commission. What will you do with this today? How are you living this out? And again, I get it. It can be overwhelming. You can feel unqualified, or you can sit back and say, well, that's for the leadership of the church to do, or that's for the pastor to do. No, that's for every single person that claims the name of Christ to do. And so my encouragement to you today is just to get started. Just do something. Don't just sit there. Don't just be at your house or walk through life or sit in your cubicle or go to work and say nothing. Just take one step and watch as the one who's given you authority and the one that's with you walks point with you. Simply begin to love people. Love God. Spend time with him. Prayer. Study his scripture. Study his word. Listen to him. Again, love everyone. Maybe for you, you just need to learn to love like Jesus. Begin to love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe that's the first step that you can take. Maybe you can start by stop arguing over our petty nonsense on Facebook with other believers. I've seen a ton of that. I mean, always. But for some reason, I feel like it's getting more and more and more and more where other people who claim the name of Christ are arguing with each other, bashing each other over these little bitty things, trying to prove they're right. No, that's not loving your neighbor as yourself. Again, we talked about, I think last week, that they will know you by how you love. They will know you are one of his disciples by how you love. So maybe we need to do that. Maybe you can just simply invite somebody to LifePoint. If you're too nervous still or intimidated, or maybe you're an introvert and you're shy, man, just hand them an invite card. Invite them out to church. Maybe you need to begin to lead a small group or a Bible study. And we can talk about that because I'd love to get more and more of those going. Simply love God, love people. Make disciples. Just do something. Take a step forward. You can do this. Again, not through your own ability. Not through your own skill set. You know, you may have some. There's a lot of talented people that are sitting in this room today. A ton of talented people. And God has given you those talents and he's wired you uniquely. But he's done so for the purpose of the Great Commission so that you can use that gifting. And then through that, he's going to use you to do some incredible things. And you can do it through his authority, through his commands, and most importantly, through his presence. You can live out the Great Commission through the power of Jesus and only through his power. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for the fact that you sent your son to die and raise again for us. As a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, God, and then from there, we've studied what happened after the resurrection, before Jesus' final ascension, God, and we thank you for everything that you've shown us in your word. We're so thankful for the fact that you restore us and redeem us, because we are flawed, jacked up people at times, do stupid things. But you redeem and restore us, God, and I'm so thankful for that. And in that process, God, you unleash us to our purpose. You don't just redeem us and leave us hanging, but you say, no, I've got a plan. And then you clearly lay out that plan for our lives to go make disciples, baptize, teach people. Teach them the things that you commanded. Teach them to love like you love, to live as you lived. And then you promised us your presence. God, we're so thankful for that. So may we, as your people, live with authority that comes from you. Teach your truth and rest in your presence. Be bold because of your presence. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning and the first thing that you need to do with this, to live this out, is to truly just give your life to Jesus. To stop running, to stop pushing him away, and just receive him. Again, he died and rose again for you, so that you could be made whole again. To be the sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sin. And I know it's not a happy-go-lucky thing to hear that you're a sinner, and I know people push back on that, but it's just reality. And if we'd all break it down and get outside of ourselves, we all screw up, we all have flaws, and none of us are perfect. That's facts. The beautiful thing is Jesus made a way for us to be whole again, to be made right before the Father. You can be restored, unleashed for your purpose. And if you're ready to step over that line of faith, you're ready to receive that redemption that comes only through Jesus, just call on his name. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. If you truly believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he was, he was the Son of God, he lived a perfect life, and he died and rose again for you, and that you're flawed and you need a Savior, just tell him that, however he leads you in that. From your heart. It's not a prayer, it's not words, it's a true belief. And if that's you, you just confess and you just do business with him, however he leads. It's between you and him, no one else. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus, but you've just been sitting on the sidelines for far too long. Yeah, you've been restored. He's unleashed you, but you're not doing anything with it. He's given you his authority. He's given you his power. You know what to do. But for whatever reason, you're just not doing it. And LifePoint Church, may we begin to work. May we begin to live out the Great Commission in every way possible. Through loving people, through loving God, through making disciples, through being generous to our community, being generous overseas, to being generous with our skill sets, with our resources, with whatever it may be, but let's live out the Great Commission. because if not, then what are we really doing? Let's be that kind of church. Let's truly love God and love people. I don't want that to be words. I want that to be action.
I'm forgiven.